It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is week 4 in the National Football League, and I am basking in the glow of 240-plus point victories in week 3. Thank you very much, Steve Smith Sr., who I have in both leagues. Hallelujah for that guy. Oh, my goodness. I'm Ross Tucker, former journeyman NFL offensive lineman who is really loving fantasy football. I'd say at this point it's almost fair to say more and more by the week I'm enjoying it more and more. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. He's Evan Silva. He's a dominator, really, in every aspect of fantasy football. I love his tweets. I love his retweets. He's at Evan Silva. I love his breakdowns. I love that I get a chance to talk to him for an hour plus every Wednesday to break down all the games. We're only going to post one podcast per day, even though we'll record both of them today. That's because several of you complain that your app or whatever, however you listen to podcasts, if you do two in the same day, it gets all messed up. So we'll post this one, the AFC version, immediately, and then we will post the NFC version at like 1 a.m. Tonight so that it's technically tomorrow for your app or however that works. We want to make sure you guys don't have any trouble accessing both of these. Thank you to everybody that entered the Madden contest. And I want to congratulate the final Madden winner, Jim Howard, who not only emailed several sponsor confirmations, but he also talked about how the reasons why he wanted the Madden. And I won't get into them other than to say it was touching. And Jim, I hope it works. Evan, a lot to get into. It's week 4. I feel like we're starting to get a better feel for what we really have with teams, players, etc. this year. And yes, there have been a bunch of surprises. So let's get into it, Bri.
Next meal.
All right, Evan, we will start with tomorrow night's game. It's the Ravens against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is actually an awesome game to start with because, as we know, there is no Big Ben Roethlisberger in that game. It'll be Michael Vick. I can't really remember the last time Michael Vick played well. Maybe I just don't have a very good memory, but I can't remember it. How does this affect the Le'Veon Bells, the Antonio Browns, and any of these guys, if at all, in your mind?
I mean, it's certainly a downgrade. You know, you hope that Todd Haley can be a creative sort of schemer and, you know, take advantage of what Vic has left in terms of his athleticism. At this stage of his career, Michael Vick is a guy who seems overly confident in his diminishing athleticism and not confident at all in his pocket quarterbacking skills. You know, he's kind of a train wreck. But you hope that Todd Haley can get him to play within structure a little bit, that they can, you know, draw up some plays that does. I mean, he can still run pretty well, but just it's not as well as it used to be. But, Le'Veon is going to get fed. Antonio Brown is still going to be the number one read on, you know, virtually every passing play. The rest of the guys, you know, you can sort of write off in this game. Heath Miller, Marcus Wheaton. I mean, just don't even bother with them.
As for the Ravens, Crockett Gilmore will not play in this game. Steve Smith has been on fire, and he's going against a Steelers secondary, which still, I think, you know, notwithstanding the Rams game, leaves something to be desired. I'm assuming for both my leagues, you're going to tell me I better roll with Smitty again, right?
Yeah, and even in the Rams game, I mean, Kenny Britt had 7 catches and over 100 yards. So you're feeling great about Steve Smith right now. He has 40 targets through 3 games. I like Max Williams. If you are a Rob Gronkowski or Delanie Walker owner, those teams are on bye. I like Max Williams as a streamer in this game. The Steelers have allowed the third most fantasy points to tight ends. Max Williams last week with Crockett Gilmore only playing half the snaps. Max Williams played 51%, and he saw seven targets. And I think he'll get up around 75 or 80% in this game. He could be the number two pass option for Joe Flacco in this game. I like Flacco a lot, too. The Steelers, and I know it didn't work out with Nick Foles last week, but it's still good process. Joe Flacco had a lot of success in three games against the Steelers last year. The Steelers' pass defense is still an issue because they can't rush the passer and they don't have good defensive backs. In all three of those Ravens-Steelers games last year, including the playoffs, Flacco had two touchdown passes. So really liking Flacco, and I think Max Williams is an excellent streamer.
Good call on Williams if people have Gronk. Very good call there. Let's move on.
Next meal.
Let's go across the pond. It is the Jets and the Dolphins in London at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. The Dolphins, I know they've won a game, but they still might be the most disappointing team in the NFL to me so far. They have been, I mean, both sides of the ball, really, really disappointing. The Jets struggled in the first half against Philly, got it going a little bit. What are we thinking about the Jets' receivers and running backs right now?
Looks like Ivory should be good to go. And I know that he frustrated a lot of people by, you know, being active and then not playing last week. But I would want to start him against the Dolphins. The Dolphins have given up some pretty strong rushing production. Last week, Carlos Williams ate him up, 12 carries for over 100 yards and a touchdown. And in week one, Alfred Morris had a pretty big game against them as well. So really no fears at this point. I know the Dolphins have a lot of talent on defense, but we're not looking at their defense as a team to fear. We're actually looking at it as a team to attack. I would want to start Chris Ivory. Brandon Marshall is an every week fantasy starter. We don't know about Decker yet. He'd be an okay play if he was cleared. Ryan Fitzpatrick is an interesting quarterback streamer, I think, this week. The Dolphins, their big weakness is in pass coverage. I mean, they're trotting out guys like Walt Akins. They don't really know who their number two corner is. They're mixing and matching Bryce McCain and Jamar Taylor, and both those guys are getting torched. Brent Grimes is getting up there in age, and Rashad Jones is better close to the line of scrimmage. So they have a lot of vulnerabilities in the back end, and I think the Jets might surprise some people and put up some points this week, you know, assuming that the Dolphins' defense continues to play the way that it has to this point.
What about the Dolphins on offense, Evan? Because I'm curious to get your thoughts on Rishard Matthews and maybe even, you know, somebody potentially thinking about Jonas Gray. If you look at what he did, what Lamar Miller's done so far, and how the Eagles ran the ball on the Jets in the first half.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess around with any of the running backs this week if I could. I mean, Lamar Miller is still very much the Dolphins lead back. And so it's quite possible that he's your best option, but this is a really, really difficult matchup for the Dolphins running game. And I would look elsewhere in terms of Ryan Tannehill. Jarvis Landry is in a good spot against Buster Screen. We won't see Revis or Cromartie kick inside. We'll see Jarvis Landry go against Buster Screen. That's what they did against Jordan Matthews last week. Revis did not go chase him into the slot. Rishard Matthews, he's been productive, but they dipped his snaps last week. He went from playing about 75% to last week he played 50%, fewer than Greg Jennings, Kenny Stills, and then Devontae Parker saw a big boost. So, you know, I know, you know, if you could bail on Rishard Matthews, I think this would be a good time to do it. He ain't going to do anything against Revis or Cromartie. Last week, I know the Jets lost the game, but Cromartie and Revis were targeted six times last week, zero catches allowed.
Wow. Well, speaking of looking elsewhere, are you hiring but not sure where to find the best candidates? As a business owner, I can tell you your company's only as good as the people you hire, which is why, I mean, with these two guys, I mean, you know. Anyway, here's what you need to do. If you're short-staffed, I know a lot of you have small businesses or you work for small businesses, you can deal with dozens of job sites at the exact same time at ZipRecruiter.com. In fact, you can post 100-plus job sites with a single click. ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses, and you can try it right now for free. Getting the right people for your company is so important. You guys know that. Try ZipRecruiter and get the perfect candidate before they go somewhere else. ZipRecruiter.com/podcast. ZipRecruiter.com/podcast.
Next meal.
Let's keep it rolling, and let's go to Houston, where the Texans will take on the Atlanta Falcons. The game's actually in Atlanta, but I just felt like going to Houston first. The Texans, Alfred Blue, are you believing, Evan, that he can do it again, or would starting Alfred Blue this week be chasing last week's points?
Yeah, that would be classic point chasing. The Texans are not in a good spot here. They are 6.5-point underdogs at Atlanta. I actually like one of the defenses in this game as a streamer. We'll talk about that eventually. I would not mess around with anybody except for DeAndre Hopkins in the Texans offense. That's great. You know that Alfred Blue had a good game last week. You know, butt pat, and we're moving forward. Arian Foster may be back this week. I tend to think he won't be. But they could just as easily go back to Chris. I mean, Chris Polk looked like the lead back entering week three. And, you know, Jonathan Grimes has been mixed in a bunch. Alfred Blue would be classic point chasing avoid.
Got it. How about the next game?
Next meal.
It's the Giants at the Bills in lovely Western New York. I will be there. Very much looking forward to it. Shady McCoy is out. Carlos Williams is looking very legit. I'm going to guess, Evan, that you'll say Carlos Williams should be owned in every league. I would imagine that he is. Is Carlos Williams a must start on Sunday against the Giants in your mind?
Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to be starting him in daily fantasy as well. Really excited to do that. This guy is averaging 7.8 yards per carry so far this season, has a touchdown in every game, 6'1", 230, runs 4.48. So he's got big-time ability. He used to be a safety at Florida State. I didn't know what to make of him coming out of college, was largely negative. Because he did not have a good senior year at FSU, but that combination of size, speed, power, you know, physicality as a former defensive back, like, you know, if you can mold all those things together, and so far it looks like the Bills have been able to do that, you know, he had a chance, and so far he's looked special. He looked good in the preseason, tore it up in training camp. Yeah, all systems go. I'm firing Carlos Williams wherever I possibly can.
What about Percy, Charles Clay, and Sammy owners out there?
Sammy has a calf strain, and as we've seen with Victor Cruz and Alshon Jeffrey and Crockett Gilmore now, and Marshawn Lynch, these are problematic injuries. And I don't know if Sammy's going to play. I wouldn't want to start him because I don't trust guys trying to play through this kind of an injury. So I wouldn't want to mess around with him. You know, you can try Percy Harvin. He's going to be hit or miss all year, just like Sammy. Charles Clay is an interesting option for tight end streamers against the Giants. The Giants have given up a bunch of production to tight ends so far. And like Jordan Reed had 6 for 96, I think, against them last week.
So Charles
So
Clay
Charles,
might be an option for Gronk owners too, right?
Yes. I tend to like Max Williams a little bit more this week, but Charles Clay is certainly a solid streamer for Gronk owners.
What about Tyrod as a streamer this week? Tyrod's looking legit, dude.
I know, man. I know. And it's, you know, I thought that they were going to use him as sort of a game manager and that, you know, they would hope for that he would maybe make one or two plays per game that would give them an edge, but they're using him aggressively. Like they didn't, you know, the way that they bounced back from that 8 sack, 3 interception game against the Patriots, they are using him in an aggressive manner. They're throwing the ball downfield. Greg Roman has done a great job so far with Tyrod Taylor, and I think he's an every week fantasy starter. Right now, he's the QB5 overall in fantasy football.
Things I did not think Evan Silva would say going into week 4. Tyrod Taylor is an every week fantasy starter. You gotta love sports. You gotta love football. Let's move on.
Next meal.
How about the Raiders in Chi-Town where the Bears are making moves? Goodbye, John Bostic, Jared Allen, and Brock Vereen. And the Raiders got it done on the road, got it done in the 1 p.m. Eastern time slot. Now they're doing it again in Chicago. I'm assuming, you know, everybody should roll with Amari Cooper. I guess I'm more interested in what you think about Michael Crabtree and Latavius Murray in this matchup.
Yeah, I'm going to have Amari Cooper in pretty much all my DFS lineups this week. The Bears have so far allowed 8 touchdown passes to opposing quarterbacks and only have 1 interception. Really good spot for Derek Carr. He is an excellent streamer. Crabtree, I really don't know what to think. He has the targets have been there. He's got 8, 9, and 16 targets in his first 3 games. The production has been hit or miss. To me, he looks like a guy who just isn't as athletic as he once was, but he can run after the catch. He's out there playing hard. I mean, he's the number 2 option in the passing game for the Raiders, and it's a really good matchup. So if you wanted to start Michael Crabtree, I wouldn't have any problem with it. I don't know if it's going to hold up all season, but you know, this is a good spot to play Michael Crabtree. And Latavius Murray, I mean, you know, he's averaging 21 touches a game. This is a really good matchup. The Raiders are favored in this game by 3 points. How embarrassing is that for the Bears, by the way, at home being dogs to the Raiders? But Latavius Murray is like an RB1, a top 10 option in fantasy right now among running backs.
Moving on.
Next meal.
How about the Chiefs at the Bengals? There's a whole lot of question marks in this one. What are you telling Jeremy Maclin owners, Evan, after all the garbage time production he got against the Packers Monday night, going against the Bengals? And then as for the Bengals, what about Giovanni Bernard, Jeremy Hill? I know Jeremy Hill's your guy, but, I mean, what are we doing here? What do you think about it? Let's start with Kansas City.
Well, Jeremy Hill has gotten off to a slow start. Sorry, I'm going to start with the Bengals.
Yeah, go for it. Hey, I'm just here for my looks, evidently.
Jeremy Hill should be everybody's guy. Everybody should be trying to buy low on him. I know he had a slow start to the season. You know, the same thing happened to Eddie Lacy last year. Like, got dinged up in the first 3 games. Didn't really do much. The way that the offense was functioning at that time didn't lend to, you know, great production for Eddie Lacy. The matchups weren't very good. And that's been the case for Jeremy Hill. I mean, we talked about it on the Feast show last week. You know, that was a Giovanni Bernard game. That was a game where they were going to throw the football. And they're going to need Jeremy Hill because they're a power running offense. That's what Hugh Jackson does. I think this is a Jeremy Hill game. And I would definitely start him against Kansas City. I would want to buy him low everywhere. He's a big-time NFL running back, and you know the Bengals know that, and that's why they're going to continue to start him and why we've seen them continue to start him. And I know that he played fewer snaps than Gio Bernard last week, but as we discussed, that was a game that set up better for Gio. And Hill's going to bounce back. We're going to see a lot of him this week against Kansas City. I don't think people are going to be on him in DFS. I'm going to be on Jeremy Hill, especially in tournaments, and I think he could win some people some money this week.
How about the Chiefs, specifically Macklin? I think we all know what we're doing with Kelce and Jamaal Charles. I guess Macklin's the one that might be a decision for some people.
Yeah, and you could look at what Steve Smith did to Cincy's back end last week, and you know that could be a positive data point for you. I mean, Macklin has always been the number one option in the Chiefs passing game. You know, I tend to believe that it should be Travis Kelce, but Macklin is the number one guy there, the guy that they're looking to feed. His stats were not great in the first two games. They were in the third game. He had a long catch against Jonathan Joseph called back in the first game that would have brought him up over 90 yards. You know, again, we're dealing in small samples. To me, Macklin is a guy that should be in your lineup pretty much every week in fantasy.
Moving on.
Next meal.
It is the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Indianapolis Colts, Evan.
Yeah, Indy is like 9.5-point favorites. A lot of people are worried about Andrew Luck right now. This is such a beautiful spot to use Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton together in DFS. T.Y. Hilton, his historically his splits are really distinct or stark. When you look at how he has played outdoors versus beneath a roof. And the Colts are going to be underneath the roof this week. And Hilton has, in his last two home games against the Jags, 11 catches for 155 yards in one of them. And then the other one, he had 4-122 and a touchdown. So I love putting Luck and Hilton together in DFS this week. Moncrief has overtaken Andre Johnson already as the Colts' number two receiver. Dante Moncrief should be in your fantasy lineup every single week. And I like Kobe Fleener. He didn't tear it up last week, but you know, assuming that Dwayne Allen is out again, Kobe Fleener is a guy who's going to be on the field a ton. He played 85% of the snaps last week. Saw six targets, and he has big playability. He's a very inconsistent real-life player and has been inconsistent in fantasy as well, but he has big playability because he's big and he can run, and I would want to start him in fantasy. I would take him definitely over Max Williams, Charles Clay, any of those guys. To me, he's a top six or seven tight end play this week.
Wow, and I'm high on Frank Gore this week. I know the Jags have a decent run defense. I guess it's ranked 12th or whatever. But after those offensive line changes, I thought that they did a much better job giving the ball to Gore. Start of the game, he finished the game. He looked pretty good. I don't think he should get lumped in with Andre Johnson in terms of how the old guys from the U look. And in terms
he's averaging 4.7 yards per carry on the season, and he's had two games against the Bills and the Jets.
Yep, exactly. And just to your point on Dante Moncrief, I mean, there's a lot of times watching that game on Sunday when I was there, Evan, there's a lot of times he is the go-to guy for them. Like, they'll go 3-by-1 set. He's the one, and Luck is looking for him in the end zone. I mean, he is their dude, which makes you wonder why they signed Andre Johnson, why they drafted Philip Dorsett. I don't think they self-evaluated Moncrief all that well. On the Jag side of it, Evan, anything jump out to you on the Jag side of it? Maybe Bortles as a streamer, anything?
No, their team total is like 18.5 points. I like Indy's defense as a streamer. I wouldn't want to even use Yeldon. The Colts have played really good run defense so far this year. Allen Robinson, hopefully he will avoid Vontae Davis's coverage and you can use him, because the Colts very often will just leave Vontae Davis on one side. And hopefully the Jaguars are smart enough to put Allen Robinson on the other side, and just feed him targets. But other than that, I'm avoiding.
By the way, Evan, I just heard about this cool app called Sleeperbot. You got to check it out. And do not tell anybody in your league, by the way, for the listeners. It sends you alerts about sleepers' injuries faster than any other app out there, basically. So any of these skill guys, they'll be the first one to break the news about sleepers and will help you dominate your league's waiver wires. You can also get your league in sync, news, custom recommendations. I've never seen anything quite like it. I just heard about it. You know, I'm just getting into fantasy, but it's very cool. It's called Sleeperbot, and it's on, you know, everything you need, iOS, Android. You go to the App Store, Google Play Store, whatever. Give it a shot. It's the Sleeperbot app, and the whole thing is they're going to give you the information about injuries, sleepers, things like that, faster than anybody else. Again, it's the Sleeperbot app.
Next meal.
How about the Cleveland Browns in San Diego? I mean, I don't really know what to say about the Browns other than how about Gary Barnidge as a potential Gronk replacement?
No. I don't trust this offense at all. I wouldn't use anybody. The guy I'm really keeping my eye on is Duke Johnson, though. Finally, the Browns started to work him into the passing game last week. Of course, it required them being down by like two touchdowns to the Raiders. But Duke Johnson is the guy I'm keeping my eye on. I wouldn't, you know, there are going to be some people who have to use Crowell, and the Chargers have not played good run D, but I don't like this spot going across the country to San Diego where they're big underdogs. It doesn't set up well. I like guys on the other side.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, so Joe Hayden has been getting roasted early in the year. I think we'll see him probably primarily on Keenan Allen. Amari Cooper smoked Joe Hayden repeatedly last week. Joe Hayden also needed x-rays on his ribs. So really no fear of the Browns defense whatsoever this week. And on the ground, the Browns are giving up 5.4 yards per carry to opposing running backs. I think this is Melvin Gordon's breakout week. The Chargers are favored by almost a touchdown at home. They should be able to control this game on the ground. Their O-line has some moving parts and is a bit of a concern, but I really think you can run all over the Browns. And you know, teams have done it through 3 weeks. Latavius Murray was breaking huge runs last week, particularly in the second half. I think this is Melvin Gordon's breakout week, and I'm going to start him in daily fantasy.
Moving on.
Next meal.
Our final AFC game. Remember, there's a bye this week for the Titans as well as the New England Patriots. It is the Minnesota Vikings at the Denver Broncos. This is the AFC podcast, so we're looking at the Broncos aspect of it. And, Evan, they cannot run the ball a lick. I mean, if you have Ronnie Hillman or C.J. Anderson, you're not starting them, are you?
You know, there will be teams that one of those guys is their best options, but they're definitely not ideal fantasy starts, and it's unfortunate because the way to attack Minnesota really is with the running game. Their pass defense is good. They can get after the QB, and they got Xavier Rhodes, and Terrence Newman has played well. Trey Waynes came into the game last week for Xavier Rhodes and definitely held his own. Didn't embarrass himself. They've got Harrison Smith in the back end there. So the way really to attack them is on the ground. But like you said, the Broncos can't run the ball at all right now. C.J. Anderson, You know, I haven't seen anybody else say this, but it seems to me like he's got a gut, like he, and he's not running with confidence. He's running really tentatively, and it looks like he's got a little bit of a gut. I don't know if you've noticed that, but at the same time, Ronnie Hillman isn't tearing it up either. So I think the Broncos are going to, again, they're going to stay in the shotgun and they're going to throw the ball with Peyton and let Peyton be the decision maker before the snap of the ball.
Before we get your quarterback streamers for this week, look, everybody, we're getting so much knowledge dropped by Evan. Why don't you make it pay off at DraftKings.com? I was telling a story Monday night. I was with some guys. The one guy was about to win some money at DraftKings.com. It's America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. With one-week fantasy, there are no season-long commitments. Got an injured player? No problem. You got dudes on a bye week? Not a good week for you? No problem. You will love the rush you get from being able to pick a new team each and every week. And they're paying out a lot of money to a lot of different people. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code FEAST and play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest, where first place takes home $100,000. Enter FEAST for free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. All right, we kind of touched on a couple of them, I think, but who do you have for your quarterbacks this week, Evan?
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor against the Giants. As long as the Bills are going to use Tyrod Taylor in an aggressive manner, let him throw the ball downfield, you know, give him option, give him the draw up, you know, quarterback keepers, and use him in those sorts of ways, as opposed to just asking him to hand the ball, you know, take the snap from center and hand the ball off. He is going to be a fantasy factor. No question. He's throwing dimes. He has game-breaking running ability. He is a guy that you want in your lineup at home against the Giants in a game where the Bills have a team total of over 26 points. That's very, very good. I also like Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Dolphins. The Dolphins' secondary is terrible. Their defense as a whole is underachieved. Derek Carr against the Bears. Again, Chicago has given up an 8-1 touchdown to interception ratio through three games. And if you want to really go deep, Michael Vick against the Ravens. Ravens have been scorched by Andy Dalton and Derek Carr in back-to-back weeks.
That'll do it for the AFC Fantasy Feast Eaton podcast. The NFC Fantasy Feast podcast will be up in your app, ready to download first thing in the morning. Hope everybody enjoys it. Good luck with your season-long team, with DraftKings.com and DFS. Hope you guys kick some butt. Stick a fork in us, though. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.